want to talk about from this third chapter of John. Any serious student of the Bible would recognize that this is probably one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible, because contained in it is the revelation that Jesus gives us about what it takes for us to have a relationship with God and to make it into heaven. In this chapter, a young man, a religious man, who was a leader of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, comes and talks to Jesus one night. Hope y'all don't mind if I call Nicodemus by Nick. Y'all supposed to say, go ahead, Pastor, call him by Nick. Nick was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious sect of people who were basically called the separated ones. They were people who were so holy, who viewed themselves as so holy and righteous that they were separated from everybody else. They believed in obeying the law to the letter. They were very strict. The Pharisees believed that they ought to obey the law to the letter. They dot every I and cross every T. They believed in the Old Testament. They believed that the Messiah was coming. They embraced miracles, angels, and the resurrection of the dead, and the fact that we would have to stand before God. They believed in what Moses said. But the cornerstone of their belief is that they believed in the strict observance of the law. They kept the law to the T, to their ability. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was not only a Pharisee, he was one of their leaders. And that's why it's interesting that one night Nick decided he wanted to have a talk with Jesus. And so late one evening, this religious person who walked by the statutes of religiosity made his way to have a conversation with Jesus. It was at night. He didn't want anybody else to know he was coming. After all, the Pharisees had it together. Why would he be talking to that religious man, that evangelist, that outsider named Jesus? So he came to Jesus and he had this secret session, because deep down inside, Nick knew something that a lot of you know. That religion does not satisfy your inward yearning and hunger. He came to Jesus because he came to grips with the reality that all of the stuff he was doing, all of the I's he was dotting, all of the T's he was crossing, and all of the laws he was keeping was not satisfying his inward yearning. And so he came to Jesus and he said to him, Nick said to Jesus, Rabbi, preacher, pastor, reverend, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, because nobody can do the things that you're doing unless God is with him. Now that's an interesting thing. He comes to Jesus and says, we know you must be from God, because you can only do what you're doing by virtue of God being with you. What amazes me is that Jesus responds to this man by answering a question before he even asked. As a matter of fact, I got 3 points for you in this matter of being born again. That's what I want to talk about. I'm asking you today, have you been born again? Because this discussion that Jesus has with Nick spirals down into the discussion of being born again. I wanted to talk about it because there's a lot of people who are in church who have never been born again. Or they've had a religious experience. They've had an emotional encounter, but they haven't been born again. If you're going to make it to heaven, and if you're going to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to be born again. As a matter of fact, I got 3 points for you about this. The first one is regeneration. Somebody say regeneration. Yeah, hang with me, y'all. Hang with me for just a few moments. Regeneration. In the first eight verses, Jesus talks about regeneration. When he's talking to Nick, he talks to him about regeneration. In verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting? He said right in verse 3, right at the outset, that if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Now that's an interesting thing, because I learned in life, after a lot of discussions and pleading with people to try to get them to understand some things, I finally came to grips with the reality that people are not going to understand the things of God until they've been born again. When I pastored in King George, I used to spend hours upon hours on the phone and talking with people, trying to get them to see about fasting and about praying and about tithing and about various aspects of the scripture. But it looks like no matter what I did, there were certain people that I could not get them to see, embrace, and understand. Then finally God made me understand the reason they don't understand is because they have not been born again. See, when you get born again, God gives you a new perspective on life. When you get born again, you get a new perspective on everything. When you get born again, what used to be just a historical book that you read, all of a sudden, the things of this book, words leap off the pages, and you begin to feel it talk to you, whereas before it was just history. So he said, if you want to be born again, if you want to see the kingdom, you have to be born again. And put on your glasses so you can read what the scriptures are saying. Slide down to verse number 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He says in verse 3, you can't see unless you're born again. And in verse 5, he says, you can't enter in unless you're born again. You won't see it and you won't enter into God's kingdom until you've had a born again experience. And in verse 7 he says, don't marvel, don't be shocked, don't be surprised. You must be born again. And that is the thing I'm trying to get across to you today, is that if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to have a walk with God, if you want to make it into God's things, you have to be born again. Now what does that mean to be born again? That's an interesting term. As a matter of fact, when Jesus first mentioned it in verse 3, in verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus thought Jesus was talking about a physical birth. But Jesus answered and said in verse 5, "Unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God." Here's what Jesus is saying in verse number 5. He is saying you have to be born of the flesh and of the Spirit. Now this is, I want to spend a few moments talking about this, because for a long time a lot of churches have taught and a lot of people have believed that when Jesus said you had to be born of the water and the Spirit, that the water part meant you had to be baptized. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here, because I've met a lot of folk who've been baptized, but they just as big a devils now as they were before they got baptized. You go down in the water. Water baptism does not save you. It is just an outward expression of an inward cleansing and faith that has occurred. And baptism is only designed really for people who have accepted Jesus in their life. If you haven't accepted Jesus in your life, then you're not supposed to be baptized. This is for people who have accepted Christ and have had a birthing again experience. So I believe what he is saying here is, unless you are born of the water, meaning when a woman gives birth to a child, that when that child grows inside, that child is surrounded by a water sack, and when it's time for the baby to come, the baby breaks forth. Why are y'all sisters looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Isn't that right? You have a water sack, and when the baby's about to be born, the baby breaks open the water sack? Huh? Come on. Is that right? Listen, if y'all can't say amen on this. Tough crowd. I believe he's saying, unless you're born in the flesh of the water and from above. And that's what, matter of fact, that's what born again means. Born means to be regenerated, to be procreated, and again means to be from above. And what Jesus is saying is, unless you have had the birthing experience in a fleshly manner and in addition to a heavenly experience, then you will no way enter into the kingdom. You won't be able to see it. You won't be able to enter it. Matter of fact, he says, you have to be born again. You have to have an experience where the God from above takes residency in you and causes you to be a new creation. We call that the born again experience. Theologically, it's called, my first point, regeneration. It's called regeneration. Somebody say regeneration. That's what we believe. I was on a plane Saturday coming from Vermont. I was preaching in Burlington, Vermont. It was cold. There's two things about Vermont. It was cold and it was nothing but white people up there. I was the only black person. I saw one black person the whole time I was there. And I was the only black person on the plane coming back. But while I was on the plane, I was sitting next to a lady. And the lady said to me, she asked, "What did I do for a living?" I said, "I am a pastor. Do you go to church?" And I said to her, do you know Jesus? She said, I don't go to church. I said, but do you know Jesus? She said, yes, I know Jesus. I said, now what Jesus do you know? So she said, well, I serve the same Jesus that they call him this in Egypt, and they call him this in India, and they call him this in, she went around the world. They call him this, and all these different names for Jesus. I said, now that might be the Jesus you serve, but that's not the Jesus I serve. The Jesus I serve has a particular character and a particular character. And here's the thing I was trying to get her to understand, because I said the Jesus I serve cannot be the same Jesus you're talking about, because she in essence says all roads lead to the same God. And I said, no, that's not what my Jesus said. My Jesus said there is one way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, nobody can come to the Father except by me. That's the Jesus that I serve. She said, how can y'all be so exclusive? Why can your Jesus be so exclusive? Why can't everybody? I said, listen, Jesus is either right or he's wrong, because the Jesus I serve has clearly articulated that there's not a whole bunch of roads and a whole bunch of paths, that everybody's traveling, headed in the same direction, and we all gonna end up in the right place. That's the same place. That's not the Jesus that I serve. She made it crystal clear that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that path ends up in death. But then there are those who embrace and accept the Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead. That's the one that I serve. And then she said these interesting words. She said, I treat people right. I love everybody, and I'm a good person. And now comes out the essence of what she believes is going to get her into heaven, is that she's a good person and she loves everybody. And you all need to be crystal clear that there's a whole bunch of folks sitting up in church who are like her, because they think that because they've joined church, they've been baptized, they sing in the choir, they serve on the usher board, they go to church every week, they belong to First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. is their pastor, they got all of these thoughts in their minds, come on, talk to me for a second, they think that that's the basis of what's going to get them into heaven. Let me tell you something, when you stand before God and have to answer to him for your life, you can call my name out all you want, it won't do nothing for you. You have to be born again. You have to have a born again experience. You have to have an encounter with God from above. You have to have the God of the universe come and take residency in you, and your view of life is different. Your passions are different. Your focus is different. Your heart is different. He changes you. That's what being born of the Spirit means. Jesus said, unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit. When you get born of the Spirit, it means Jesus takes an encounter with you. Somebody say, with you. He regenerates you. He makes you a brand new creation. I grew up in this church. I grew up in First Baptist Church here of Glen Arden. And I joined this church as a young man because I went forward and joined because I sang at the time in the Sunbeams choir. And the Sunbeams, on Communion Sunday, all of my buddies on my row would take communion. And I would look over to my mama, and my mama would say, you can't have communion. She said, I had to join church. So all my friends, they were drinking the communion, putting their tongue all up inside the cup, they was having a good time, and I wanted to take communion, so I went forward. I didn't go up there because I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. I didn't go up there because I recognized I needed Jesus. I didn't go up there because I wanted to repent and get my life turned around. I went up there because I wanted to stick my tongue in the communion cup too. Y'all can't handle the truth, can y'all? When I joined church, at that time at our church, we didn't walk you through the scriptures. We didn't sit down and take you through Romans Road. We didn't ask you where you were spiritually. We didn't pray with you a sinner's prayer. We didn't walk you through accepting Jesus. What we did at that time in our church was have you fill out a form with your name and address, and then they brought you out front and voted on whether to let your behind join the church. Who was here? Who remember when church was like that, when they used to make you fill out the form and then have you walk out front, and then somebody would make a motion, and then somebody was seconding, and he would say, "It has been properly moved and seconded that we will let John Jenkins become a member of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden." All of them say, "Aye." Y'all better be glad we don't vote on people today. You know somebody would stand up and say, "Oh no, Pastor, don't let them come up in here today. I saw them at the club last night." Never mind what you doing at the club last night. To see them at the club last night, We didn't walk people through a process of introducing them to the gospel and showing them scriptures and getting them to pray. We didn't do that. So I joined church for all the wrong reasons. I got baptized. I remember the night I got baptized. I walked down in the water. The water was cold. I cheered. I hollered. I screamed. That water was cold. I pulled my foot back. I said, "Woo!" The water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. But I went on down and I got baptized. I went down a dry center, came up a wet center. There was no change in me. I did not have a regeneration experience. I had a religious experience. And I joined the church and sang in the choir, sang on the choir, served in the ushers. I was active in church. I was a religious person. But one Tuesday night, I'm not going to keep y'all long. Hey, with me. Can y'all try to stay awake while I'm preaching for a few minutes here? One Tuesday night, I was at a revival service, and while the service was going on, a reality came to me that I did not want to admit, but it was true, that religion was not satisfying my hunger for God. I still had a thirst deep down inside of me that being religious wasn't satisfying. So at that Tuesday night, when they gave the invitation, I got up and I went down. And I know what people were saying. They were whispering. I could feel them whispering as I walked by. "What is he doing? Why is he going down there? He's already a member. He's in the choir. He's on the usher board. What is he doing going down there?" But that night, I didn't care what other folks thought about me. And if I could just tell you the truth, it was the best move of my life. It was a day that changed my life forever. That night, I got born again. That night, I met Jesus. That night, I got transformed. And I'm so glad I didn't let what other folks thought about me stop me from making the move. Somebody tell your neighbor, you need to bust a move. Somebody needs to come on down. Somebody who's doubting. Somebody who has questions. Somebody who's not sure. Somebody who's been religious. Somebody who's never has shown up a born-again experience and been regenerated, been born from a gub, needs to bust a move up in here. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. But when the time comes, get out of your seat, rush down here, and you'll walk out of this building different than the way you came in. So that's why I joined the church, but I'm so grateful that God changed my life. That night changed me. I was regenerated. I was born again. So Jesus said, you got to be born again. Marvel not. Verse number 7. Marvel not that I say to you, you have to be born again. You have to be regenerated. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be? How can this happen? How can a person get born again?" And now here's a guy who is a religious leader. And when Jesus started talking about being born from above, he said, "How can these things be?" Listen to Jesus' answer, verse number 10. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? You teaching people about God and you don't even know how to have a relationship with them?" Verse 11, "Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things. You struggling with the stuff I'm telling you on the earth. Just like y'all was struggling when I was telling you about being born of water. Y'all act like y'all didn't know what I was talking about. He said, if I'm telling you earthly things, how can you accept heavenly things? Then he says in verse 14, now listen to this. Listen, write this down. Here's point two. Let me give it to you real quick. He wanted to know how it could happen. How can a person be born again? And Jesus' answer boils down to this. Here it is, realization. Point two, realization. Somebody say, realization. You come to the realization of who Jesus is. You really learn to embrace the essence of who he is. Not just give credence to his existence. Not just validating that he lived. But being able to come to the reality of who he is. And that's why I want to point you out to verse 14. Because listen to what Jesus said. In answer to Nick's question, in verse 14, he says this. And has Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Stick a pin right there. Because Jesus said, if you want to know how a person can have an experience, a regeneration experience with God, they have to do this. Just the way Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Let me tell you what that means. When Moses was leading the children of Israel and they were out living their lives loosely and wildly and doing what they wanted to do, God got angry with them and sent serpents, and the serpents began to bite the people, and the people began to die. Moses went to God and said, Father, have mercy on them, forgive them. And God gave to Moses a plan. God said to Moses, I want you to make a brass serpent, and I want you to put that serpent on a pole and lift the pole up high. Put it in the place that if anybody gets bit by the serpent, it's high enough for them to see it. And when they look up to the serpent, they'll be healed of their bite. And Jesus is saying, in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when he gets lifted up, anybody that looks to him will be healed from their sin sickness. I wish I had a praying crowd with me right now. I wish I had somebody who understood what I was talking about. Jesus is in essence saying, in the same way the serpent was lifted up, if he gets lifted up, everybody who looks to him, just like the people looked to the serpent in Moses' day, we'll be saved. Ooh, that makes me want to shout when I think about that. Because Jesus did what nobody else did. He got hung up high, nailed in his hands, nailed in his feet, pierced in his side, a crown of thorns in his head, but he was hung up on a cross. And if we look to him, we shall be saved. Realization means look, that you will be willing to lift Jesus up for who he is. As a matter of fact, verse 15 says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If he's lifted up and you look to him, if you believe on him, and I want y'all to be clear, when we talk about believing in Jesus, we're not talking about merely placing credence in his existence. James 2:19 says that the devils believe. But they're not saved because they don't believe like we believe. They don't embrace Jesus for who he is. Jesus, in essence, is telling us if we want to have eternal life, if we want to live with him, we must lift him up for who he is. Well, who is he? He is God wrapped up in human form. When we look at Jesus, we're looking at God. That's who he is. He's the God who died on the cross for our sins. That's what we believe, that when he hung on the cross, he took the punishment for the sin that you and I should have had. Should have been you hanging on that cross. Should have been me. Should have been all of us. We should have had a string of crosses, and it should have been all of us hanging up there for our sin. But so we wouldn't have to be hung on the cross. Jesus said, don't worry about it. I'll take your place. And he died on the cross for our sins, took our place. And we believe that. That's what we have to believe, that he died on the cross for our sins and that he was buried. That when he died, they took him off, down off that cross and buried him in a tomb. And he carried our sins away. And we believe that he conquered death and rose from the dead. Early one Sunday morning, they went down to the grave looking for him, but he was not there. If you want to have a regeneration experience, if you want to be able to be born again, you have to realize that Jesus died, he was buried, and early Sunday he got up out of the grave with all power in his hands. You have to believe that he did it from the core of your heart. You see, a lot of people come down to this altar not because they put their faith in Jesus, but because they're having problems in their life and they want deliverance from their problems. That's not going to save you. You got to do more than just come down here for deliverance from your problems. You got to come down here because you got a sin problem. You got a jacked up life problem and you need forgiveness. Are y'all listening to me? My heart is saddened because church is full of people who've never been born again. They're religious. They go to church. They bring their Bibles. They got a cross around their neck. They know how to sing the right songs. They know how to wave their hands. They know how to close their eyes and move and smooth from side to side. They got the movement down. They know the church lingo. They know how to say I'm blessed and highly favored. They got the church lingo down. They know all the right things. They know where to sit, where not to sit. They know when they get up and when to sit down, when to walk around, when to put their place together, when to get the offering, how much to put in the offering. They got all that down. But that's not going to get you into heaven, and it's not going to make you be born again. You have to put the core of your heart and your belief in what Jesus did for you. You have to believe that he died and was buried and rose again. In verse 15, he says, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that. I love both those passages because it has a common word, whoever. King James says, whosoever. And whether you know it or not, there are some whoever's on your row. Go ahead, look up and down your row and see who the whoever is. Matter of fact, there's several whoever's on your row. Matter of fact, there's a whoever sitting in your seat. Whoever means it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how ugly your past. It doesn't matter how long you've done it. It doesn't matter how low you have sunk. It doesn't matter how many times you went there. It doesn't matter who you did it with. God saw everything you did, every time you did it. No matter how dark the room it was, he saw it. No matter how far away you went, he saw it. But guess what? He said, I saw you, but I love you so much that Jesus said, I still came to die so that your sins could be wiped away. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I believe you're here today and you want to have a born-again experience. And Jesus said, if you just realize who I am and put me up on the pole and look up to me and believe that what I did was sufficient enough for your salvation, he said, if you believe that, I'll save you, I'll redeem you, I will make you a brand new creation. If you just lift me up and look up to me as your source of salvation, I will make you be born again. Woo! Well, y'all still ain't got it yet. Here's my third point, and I'll be out of your way. Is when you have a born-again experience, when you are regenerated because you realize you have the realization of who Jesus really is, you get some results. Somebody say result. Come on and celebrate the pastor got auras today. Go on, pastor, with your auras. Yes, Lord, I worked hard for these auras. These auras didn't come easy for me. I had to do some research for these auras. when you get regenerated, you have a new awareness of right and wrong. Stuff that you used to do that didn't bother you all of a sudden bothers you. That's the result. You haven't changed. You have a hunger for God's word. You have a hunger to get in the word of God. When you get born again, you have a desire to live better and more closer to God. When you have a changed life, you have a love for other Christians and you have a desire to tell other people about Jesus. When you have been regenerated and born again, God changes your life. Not only does he change your life, but he gives some promises to you. In verse 15, he says, you will have eternal life. If you believe in him, you won't perish, but have eternal life. In verse 16, he says, you won't perish, you'll have everlasting life. I don't know what the difference is. All I know is that both of them are for a long time. It's eternal life and it's everlasting life. It means that you will live for God in his presence eternally. Verse 18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned. There's another result right there. You will not be condemned. The word condemned means punished. God says, I'm not going to punish you. Some of y'all know that y'all done some stuff. You deserve a whipping. You deserve to be punished. But when you put your faith in Jesus, he pulls the record and he erases your sin so that you will not get punished. Woo! Thank God I don't have to worry about being punished by God. He has made provisions for me. He pulled my slate. He pulled my books from the files of heaven. And when I accepted Jesus, he dipped it in his own blood and cleansed me from all of my sin. Verse 18 says, he who does not believe is condemned already. Look at verse 18. He who does not believe is condemned already. You don't believe, you're going to get punished. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And can I talk about that verse for a minute? How about two? Can I take 2 minutes? Will somebody give me three? I'm looking for three. How about four? Will somebody give me five? Looking for five, five, five. I got five. When a person is condemned and go to hell, you don't go to hell because of what you did. You don't go because you lied, you cussed, you drank, you smoked, you drugged. You don't go because you were a homosexual, lesbian, adulterer. You don't go to hell because of what you did. You go to hell because of what you didn't do. You go to hell because you did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You go to hell and you are rejected and have God's judgment on you because you refuse to realize and embrace Jesus for who he is. Because you kept pushing him to the side. You never let him be in charge. You never realized who he is. You kept living your life by your rules. You did what you wanted to do. You didn't care what the Bible said. You didn't care what God thought. You lived your own life based on what you thought was right. You did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Do y'all see that? He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The judgment of God will rest on you because why? You reject the name of believing on the only Son of God. So I got a question for you. Talked about regeneration. That's a requirement. You must be. It's not an option. It's not one of many roads. Jesus said, you must be born again. He says you get to be born again by realizing who he is. In the same way that the Son of Man was lifted high on the pole, you likewise must look to Jesus. And what he did on the cross is sufficient. And when you do that, you get the wonderful results of eternal life. And you won't perish. If you reject him, or if you have been rejected him, the wrath of God abides on you. My job is to find out if you're here today and you're not right with God, you've never been born again, to help you get born again. And guess what? You can get born again today. Matter of fact, I know you're here. And God told me to invite you to come on and give him your life. Matter of fact, I'm coming down and I want to invite you right now to get up out of your seat and say, you know what? I've never been regenerated. I never had a born-again experience. But I'm going to swallow my pride, humble myself, and I'm going to come. You know what I'm asking you to do? Y'all don't have to stand. You know what I'm asking you to do? The same thing I did on a Tuesday night. Even though I sang in a choir and I served on the usher board and I was active in church and I had been baptized, but I knew that there was something missing in my life. I needed a change. And I got up and I walked down the aisle and God saved me. Let me invite you to come.